This is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping the local area. Inside Douglas County is presented by Concrete Builder Supply. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
A few more interviews to go in our Back to School series, our annual look at education around Douglas County. Superintendent Don Wensley of Camas Valley Charter School, thanks for coming in.
Oh, appreciate it. Thanks for having me.
So when did your district begin the school year and how are things going so far?
Well, we started after Labor Day, which is the common choice of the parents in our district. We tried before Labor Day one time, didn't go real well. So we started after. We got off to a great start. It's been nice and smooth. So good start so far.
How does enrollment compare to last year?
We're a little bit down, so we're about 10 students less than last year. We leveled out for about 3 years, and a little drop this year.
And anything new there in terms of programs or new folks that you've hired?
Yep, we got a few things going on. So we last few years we've really hit our reading interventions really strong. We added math interventions for our grade school. That's been going very well. We've seen scores go up. Reading scores have really gone up really well. Some of the new things we've added, we added an outdoor class in our high school, which is pretty popular. Saw kids carrying in their fishing rods the other day. They were going on a trip to a pond to go fishing, and you know, there's things they learn, you know, how to things about fishing, outdoor stuff, outdoor survival. So that's gone really well. We also started robotics in our elementary school, middle school, and going to go into the high school with that. Second semester, we're looking at starting a welding program and maybe possibly home ec or one of the two. So
that's a lot, and these are all new.
Yeah, we got, you know, it's like never want to just stay still. You know, we do surveys end of the year, what kids, you know, what they like, what they like to see, try to add on some stuff, and so keep it fresh for them and keep them really motivated, wanting to go to class.
Now, how long have you been with Camas Valley?
This is my 7th year, so I've done this my 33rd year in education, 7 at Camas Valley.
And what are some of the things you especially like about Camas Valley?
Oh, I just love the size. The small school thing is just where it's at for me. You know, I always debated if I wanted to get in administration a long time ago. Didn't want to do a large school where you're in a, you know, office building a lot. My office as superintendent / principal is right in the high school hallway. So I see students nonstop, and I love the relationship piece with that. You know, kids stop by my office, tell me what's going on. We discuss their lives, different things, and so really enjoy that. And then the small school, you have a chance to talk about, you know, character traits. We have a character trait each month and have discussions with that and different things that go on. So that's, I love the small school feel.
Now, literally in the hallway?
Literally, yeah. Well, the door opens right into the high school hallway.
Wow.
So
people couldn't basically get into the school without passing you pretty quickly.
No, you just go in the door and turn left. I'm two doors down, so it's pretty close.
So a lot of things this year, always shifts in education. We have the statewide cell phone rule usage change. It officially goes into effect January, and a lot of districts started early. What are your plans for dealing with it?
Yeah, we started, obviously the board has to have a policy in place in October, so they're working on that, looking at different things and how to make that work. So that's kind of where we're at, and then we'll implement that come January. So right now we're still with our current policy, and that's with, you know, no cell phone in classrooms and only during hall, you know, passing and hall, you know, and lunchtime, that kind of stuff. So not in the classroom.
Do you feel like this new rule will help?
That's a pause. help. What we were doing, you know, if you keep them out of the classroom, I think that's the distraction. So now, you know, telling people they can't have them at all, bell to bell, we'll see what that, you know, kind of where that goes and how kids deal with that. So it might be harder to enforce, and so we'll see.
Well, it's been interesting. Yeah. Is why I've talked to several superintendents. The question hasn't always come up, but a few of them so far have talked about they feel like it's been an overall good change, and they're seeing kids taking those times between classes and all that, a lot more conversations, a lot more social interaction going on.
Yeah, and that's you know, kind of where I think we're going with this is, you know, our society's got to where we have the cell phone, you know, in our face nonstop, and the interactions declined. It hasn't been a real big issue for us in the sense of we're a small school. We're always having conversation. And so, you know, this morning we walked in and kids started talking about, you know, they're helping this lady on the way to school, and maybe, you know, they were doing stuff like, you know, something like that this morning. So we have a lot of dialogue. But, you know, I think anytime you promote dialogue and conversation in our society now is a good thing.
What about mental health support for students after the pandemic? That really ramped up. Well, it really ramped up during the pandemic. But at a smaller school, it seems like maybe that would be more of a challenge to offer support.
Yeah, that is and has always been the challenge in Douglas County, especially for small schools. I think we struggle with that all the time. So I know superintendents, we've worked out and try to have partners to partner with us and, you know, send people to the right resources. We've tried to hire a counselor. That's been a struggle a little bit to try to find someone for that position. So it's, you know, definite need. And right now we just use resources, partner with different people to do that.
Now, are you able to get some help in terms of from some of the other outside organizations, or is it just because you're such a smaller district that doesn't work out?
No, that works. I mean, when you have your partners and they deal with certain stuff, depends on the degree of the situations you're dealing with. So, you know, we know if it's minor who we're dealing with, we know if it's major issues who we go to. So those pieces, you know, we kind of have lined up and it's pretty organized. And in organizations in the county, you know, they're willing to help and be a partner.
So when you look back, when you got into education, what led you to wanting to be a teacher?
There was just teachers in my life that helped me, you know, so I know some people know my story, but my parents divorced when I was 15 and a half, didn't even have my driver's license, but I had a car and moved into the lower level of my school parking lot and lived in my car the last 2 years of high school. And in that process, there was teachers and people that would help me, that helped me kind of get through that time of my life. And so I've never forgotten them. And when I, you know, started moving towards education, I was like, this is a good way to help kids. And that's what's kept me in a small school, you know, that personal relationship and being involved with them all the time. So I love that part.
So you were really, because of your experience, able to see firsthand the impact the teachers could have.
Oh, yeah. Because, you know, you get someone that cares about you and invests in your life. They make a real difference. You don't forget that. And so you know, you grow with that. And, you know, when you get, like, when you're searching job things, I'm like, okay, I want to help kids and be around kids. And that's where that led to.
All right, we're going to take a break. Back with more. Superintendent Don Wensley of Camas Valley Charter School. The interview podcast after 1-541-radio.com. News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. Inside Douglas County, 1246. Lars Larson coming up at 1. Inside Douglas County, a few more stories to tell on our Back to School series. And tomorrow, we're going to talk with Annalicia Nicholson, superintendent of the Douglas Education Service District. Don Wensley, Camas Valley Charter School in here now. So Camas Valley, I mean, you are, talk about how many students out there are coming in from other areas. I know that was at one point something that you really were drawing a lot of outside students because of your small size.
Yeah, so being the charter school, obviously you have no boundaries. And so we have students from Winston, Roseburg, Myrtle Point, kind of that direction. So we're about a 50-50 split. There's like 50 from Camas Valley and 50 from other places.
And first of all, that gives you more students to deal with, which probably helps out in a lot of real practical ways financially, but also some challenges there, I would imagine, for these students just getting to school?
Yeah, transportation. We provide transportation. So we have bus routes, one to pick up in Winston, 10 Mile. And so that helps with the transportation piece. So kids that are coming, you know, some kids drive. And so it's a longer drive for them. And so we got to, you know, we talk about safety and different things and who passes me on the highway on the way to school sometimes, and we have conversations. But, you know, they make it work because, you know, they like the small school setting and it's something that's really positive for them.
That's where you know you're in a small school when you hear about it after passing the superintendent.
Yes, that's true. This is how, in fact, this morning, it happened this morning. Student passed me and we met. They got in the parking lot, had a little discussion on proper speed and safety of driving a little bit. And it was a good conversation. So,
wow. So for a small school district, how do athletics work?
Just, you know, it's like any other school. The only thing with small schools, you don't have as many offerings. So, you know, like in the fall, we have football, and now we've added a cross-country option, and we have volleyball for the girls. When we get into winter, we have wrestling and basketball for boys and girls. And then springtime, we have track and baseball, softball. And how it affects, you know, individual sport, you can do individual sport and team sport. So when we get to springtime, sometimes we have kids that do track and baseball, for example. And so they do both of them. So.
Now, for the older students, are they able to, for the sports you don't offer, go do those like in a nearby district?
Yeah, so they can go, you know, in other districts, the district they live in, and participate in the sport if they choose to do so.
Now, financially, how's the district doing?
We're doing really well. Our budget's been really healthy. In fact, the whole 7 years I've been there, it's, you know, I'm pretty conservative, and my bookkeepers and I, you know, are very cautious of the budget and budget very conservatively. So we've been in a pretty healthy position.
And does that ever worry you with all the ups and downs of state and federal funding?
Normally, you know, last few years, no. This time around, a few things that are coming up with, you know, possibility talking about downfall in the Oregon economy and different things, those pieces, you know, just put things in the back of your mind. But what that does for me, I don't really worry about it. I just make sure I'm very thoughtful in how we're budgeting and what we're going to use money on.
Now, I know one of the challenges for rural districts is sometimes just getting teachers, when you have openings, to take a look at those. Is that kind of tough sometimes?
Well, fortunately, this past year, I returned every teacher but one. And so I only had one opening teacher-wise, and that was nice. And so that was not hard to fill. But if you have a few of them, the quality and the quantity are both, you know, a challenge these days.
I mean, if somebody's coming from a more urban area, just Roseburg in itself will seem small. And when you talk about being a half hour away and talk about the size of the school, that probably gives you some questions peppered your way.
Yeah, and that's the thing for us. Teachers are driving, you know, we have teachers driving, one from Myrtle Creek and one from Canyonville. And so we have teachers come quite a distance. But they've been there for a long time, and they come because they got relationships with people and the kids, and it's worth the drive to them.
So what about now your building is, well, you have more than one building, but it is older, right?
Yeah, 1928. I mean, when I first came in there 7 years ago, it took me 2 weeks to figure out how to maneuver through it. So it's got, you know, its quirks with it, but we've done a good job. When I first got there, we made sure we budgeted to take care of the building, you know, and to improve stuff. And so we've done everything from upgrading the water system, upgrading part of the electrical system, adding new buildings. And we just have a maintenance part where we do a really good job of taking care of our building.
Now, yeah, with a building that old, it's got to be challenging when you're trying to deal with, you know, having enough power come into the building, things like that.
Yeah, so it's good planning. When we, you know, we know what we have and we know what we need, but we just added a new building on, and we had, plenty of power for that, and the welding shop / home ec building we added on. So, you know, it's you know, sometimes the stuff that's built older is built better. So, you know, people did a good job building that. It's a strong building. You look up and you see the sign, it says 1928, but you walk in the building and you, for the most part, can't tell.
And do you see any other projects that are going to be needed in the next few years?
So I've done a lot of building there. I've, you know, we've added modulars, we've added other classroom sections, we've added new track, we've added a baseball field, we've done a lot of different things. The one thing I'd like to do at some point is build a second gym. Second gyms are nice to have. Our current gym is pretty small, but you know, if I had to pick one thing, it would be a second gym. So because that's nicer for kids too, because you know, when you have one gym, everybody's sharing that, elementary through high school, gets a little crowded. Second one would free some space and time up.
What would it take to put the financial piece to that together?
Just money. So that's the whole piece of that. The thing with Camas Valley is that we have never had a bond. So that probably wouldn't be an option for us. So we'd have to figure out financially how to piece that all together.
Talk about long-term future plans. What are some of the other things you'd like to see? I mean, you've talked about other things being added in recent years. What about the future?
I think, you know, just academically trying to get stronger a little bit in the high school. We've added different science classes as you keep growing, to keep adding those, you know, and to keep this, what we're currently doing, to keep that getting better. So the reading programs, the math interventions, those kind of things, just to keep excelling with those. The robotics, we're starting that up now. So that will be a process of, you know, one step at a time, you know, from building that program from the younger kids and going into competitions. So just doing stuff, what we're doing it better.
And what's the response on robotics so far?
Kids love it. It's that hands-on stuff where the kids, you know, you get them hands-on for the most part, and most of those kids really enjoy that. So it's great to go in, and we do different things offshoot from the robotics pieces where they're building different things that move and understand movement and the geometry stuff. And so the kids just really enjoy that hands-on. So, in fact, I had one kid come in, it's like, came to my office, came up, see me and said, Mr. Wazzy, watch this. And he put this thing on the floor, and I watched it go down the hallway, you know. So they get excited about those things and want to show us their work, what they've done.
Are there opportunities in robotics to go out other places and do competitions?
Yeah, so they have state competitions in those. And so, and if you've ever been to one, they are big. I mean, there's groups that put together some great stuff in robotics, and they have national competitions. So you can go on to even nationals in robotics.
Any big concerns you have about sort of education in the future? There are less people going into the field. Is that a concern?
That's definitely a concern. I think after 33 years now, what I've seen is if you had an opening, you'd have just a stack of applications and a ton of quality people to choose from. I think what we're doing is it's lessening, and I think there's issues that are causing some of that. But I think if we focus on education, and that's what we strive to do, and we get better at that. You know, for us in our school, we have two things we focus on, education and character traits. And we want to make sure that those pieces stay strong and keep the distractions to a minimum.
For a kid that comes to Camas Valley, if they live generally out there in that area, you've got a lot of kids probably involved at home in agriculture, right?
Yeah, well, agriculture is big for us. Obviously, we have a lot of logging families in the area. We have an FFA program, and so we do a lot of programs relating to those areas.
And is that for the all grades, or where does that start?
They start mostly middle school through high school, but we do start some of the ag stuff in grade school with projects. But officially, if you were to ask me, it would be middle school, high school. We start that.
So what are you looking forward to as we wrap up here for the rest of this school year?
Way we go with, it's been a good year so far. We're off to a good start. The pieces, the math intervention, the reading stuff that we do, you know, just keep getting stronger than that. The relationship piece, it's just great to see the kids off to a good start, have good attitudes, and enjoy school. And so we're going to shoot for a good attendance this year and see where that goes.
All right, Superintendent Don Wensley of Camas Valley Charter School, thanks for coming in.
Appreciate it. Thanks for having me here.
1258 News Radio, 93.9 FM, 1240 KQEN.
You've been listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEM, a daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. It's presented by Concrete Builder Supply. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it around and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications. Stay connected with local news and information. News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEM.